You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Let's do this. It's time for another episode of Nightlight, coming to you live from beautiful downtown Green Bay. And it is a gorgeous night here in the state of Wisconsin. Wherever you are joining us from, welcome. Sit back, kick your feet up, turn on the radio or the app or the stream, however you choose to listen, however you choose to Nightlight. It's great to have you. And we have a special surprise here tonight because producer and our friend and wedding crasher, Conrad Krieger, is back in the producer's chair. Hey, buddy.
Hey, yeah, it's good to be back.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good. You know. I thought, I was half expecting to get a text from you saying, I've decided to do nails and I'm going to pursue my dream.
You know,
up yours, Schwabba.
I don't think anyone would want me to do their nails. It'd look pretty bad. I suck at drawing.
How was your wedding? You had a good friend get married. You were in the wedding party. That's exciting.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun. It was in the Smokies.
Yeah, beautiful area.
So you know, I mean, getting up there, a lot of hills and winding roads.
Beautiful setting. I would imagine.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah. Just when they're up there, you know. In the background, why they didn't have us stand up there. They had us like sit in the front row so that you could see that the Smokies in the background. Nice. So we're not blocking the way, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it was really fun.
Wouldn't that be terrible if they were divorced within a year?
I don't, that would be bad.
It would be bad anyway. But I mean, with that kind of setting, when people drop that kind of coin on a wedding, man, you really hope they make it.
That's true.
That's a lot of pressure. It's best just to elope and get married at the beach, I think. Well, but that's fun.
Yeah.
What did you want? Was the rehearsal dinner fun? Did you guys party or was it not that kind of wedding?
No, I mean, the first day I flew in, so it was, flight got delayed a little bit on the way there, so I didn't have a ride to Gatlinburg from Knoxville, so I Ubered there.
Ooh.
Which it wasn't terrible. I thought it was going to be more expensive, but it wasn't bad. But the guy just knew his way around everything. He's like, I'm taking this way. It's faster. I'm like, that kind of sketches me out, but all right.
I got a shortcut.
And on the way there, he was telling me pretty much every sport is rigged.
Oh, I love those guys.
I mean, because you know, it's an hour drive, so we're just like, yeah. So I was going to put my headphones on, but they just started talking right away. So I was like, all right, Yeah, pretty much just talked about how he doesn't believe that any sports is real.
You should have just pulled the old, let's see who can be quiet the longest.
Do you want to play the quiet game, please?
That's hilarious. Well, that sounds like a good time. That's awesome.
The second day we went golfing, the most beautiful course I've ever played at.
Really?
Yeah, it was in the Smokies, the course.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was up and down. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
What city is that? Is that outside of Knoxville?
About an hour from Knoxville's Gatlinburg.
Okay.
And it's like a city on the bottom of the Smokies.
Yeah, nice.
So, and there was a par three that was 200 feet down.
200 feet down?
Yeah.
So 200 feet, how far, well, like a par three, so that's like a wedge, right?
Straight
downhill?
It was straight down. It was scary looking at, kind of. Like, wow. All right, don't fall over this tee box.
How did you do on that course?
I actually didn't. Well, we played a four-man scramble, so it wasn't. We had a guy that was really good on our, you know, playing with us, so he saved us a lot.
Did any of your scores did make it into the scorecard?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, it was just a lot of fun. So.
That's awesome. Now on the way down, it was very exciting because you told me that you were watching a film I co-wrote called yes. A Guy Thing from MGM on the plane.
I got to tell you, the plane rides weren't that long.
Yeah.
So I watched as much as I could on that ride, and I downloaded it from Amazon. And I got halfway through, and then the next day, it went off Prime.
Oh, real?
So I couldn't finish it.
Well, you could have if you would have.
Well, if I gave you some change,
out the four
yeah.
bucks. I didn't understand your last text though. You said something about one of the gags. I said, "Let me know, and I'll tell you if it's something we wrote or the other writers."
Yeah,
I didn't understand what you said.
There's this moment where they're in a conference room, and this guy says a joke, and it doesn't land, and you hear a.
Okay.
And I said, "That's got to be you."
Maybe. I don't even remember, honestly. I remember the big gags, but I have not seen the movie. It's probably been 11 years because I remember my son Joe and I went to a Northwestern game in Evanston and stayed at my friend's house. And the movie was on TV, so we watched it. And Joe was like, I don't know, 15 at the time or whatever. And even then I was like, oh, yeah, we wrote that. We didn't write that. But anyway, that's funny. That's hilarious.
I didn't expect it to, you know, happen so fast.
What do you mean?
Sleeping with the girl.
Sleeping with the girl, yeah.
Yeah, and the underwear in the toilet, I think that might have been you too.
That was ours, yeah.
Yeah.
That was Greg's, actually. You know, what's funny is I remember when you write a movie like that, the script we sold, if I can toot my own cohorn here, got us in every room. We had meetings with Spielberg's company and all these great, these huge producers who had deals, Kathy Conrad and Michael Costigan and all these people. But the movie was so different. Like, they brought in other writers who are phenomenal writers, Matt Tarsis and Bill Rubel. Tarsis wrote on Scrubs. Rubel wrote on Modern Family and other shows. Are very accomplished TV writers. But it was like a different sensibility. And then you had the director. And then Julia Stiles, in order to get her in the movie, they had to listen to her notes. And she wanted her character to work odd jobs. Okay. That has nothing to do with the story, but they tried to make her happy. The whole movie, a lot of it doesn't make sense. And they shot it in Canada where it was raining all the time. They just blew it. MGM blew it. And I know they had good intentions, but it really hurt because I thought we sold a pretty flawless script, which sucks.
Well, yeah. I mean, I only got halfway through it, so.
Hold your judgment until you see the movie. I had a, on the way down. Oh, remember last week I was talking about how they lock up, moisturizer and
yeah
at Walmart. So it's you know, when I go to Walmart, it's like 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock or 9 o'clock when I'm rolling back into Marinette, and there's not a lot of workers around. So I'm like, I'm not waiting. I'm out of facial soap. So I just left and I used my wife's for like a week or whatever. And last night I bit the bullet. I go, I need my charcoal cleanser. So I go in there and I get the generic version because I'm cheap, the Equate version.
Yeah.
$3.88, and it's behind glass. And it takes me 5 minutes to get a Walmart worker. She comes over. She's very nice. She couldn't find the right key. So that took 5 minutes. Then, Conrad, and I'm not lying, she takes the bottle to the counter. She wouldn't hand me the bottle and have me walk up to checkout by myself. She goes, I'm sorry, this is our policy. I go, who's stealing Equate charcoal facial cleanser? And she goes, well, a guy took a bottle of whiskey into the bathroom last week. I go, okay, that's a $30, $40 bottle of whiskey. That's not cheap.
That's totally different.
Well, I mean, what am I going to do? Like, it's just insanity. So, the bottom line is my skin should look amazing today because I finally bit the bullet and got my facial moisture. But that's insane. $3.88.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
The other thing I realized today is I really, truly hate pop-ups. And even when I, like, do you go through your, your system settings and everything and take out the pop-up options or whatever?
Well, I mean, I go on some of those sites that have pop-ups, like the streaming sports sites.
Oh, yeah. And the porn stuff comes up. Those sites are fun. I'm talking about the others. No. We would do that too. I think I talked about that on this show, that when my parents would come over and we put the game on and I have to pirate it. It's like, all these horrible websites that some people have a lot of fun on, but my mom and dad are in their 80s, and they're used to it now. It's like, oh, here we go. It's like, well, it's either this or pay $500 for the NFL package.
Well, I don't know. Did you watch the Monday night game last night?
No.
Well, there was like one way to watch it now. I don't know if you heard, but ESPN, Disney, and YouTube TV could not reach an agreement.
Oh, I did hear about that.
So
yeah.
There's like half less games now on YouTube TV. And Monday Night Football was not on YouTube TV last night.
Oh, interesting.
And I I had no idea where to find it.
You go to...
Well, I went to a different...
We've talked about that.
Yeah.
It's funny because I, you know, we wanted to watch on Sunday, the Bears were on at the same time the Packers were on. And I thought, I told my dad, it's not going to be on because the Packers, it's going to block out. It's not. When you stream, the Bears were on Paramount Plus at the same time the Packers were on Fox. That must be, I was like, maybe it's a surprised at that because usually that's not the case.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a whole thing now. It's, you have to buy like $500 worth of streaming services to watch one game.
It's awful. It's terrible. What I was going to say, though, is every time I clicked on something today, I think the programmers know when a new site opens up, when I write my beats, I'll go to like, you know, people.com or something. Mm-hmm. And the page will be open. The minute I move the cursor up to click on something, an ad appears there. And I know they're delaying it so that you have, you know, they just get the clicks.
They're tracking you.
Oh, it drives me nuts. All right, let's do the, got great guests tonight, folks. It's going to be a lot of fun. But first, let's go to the Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite documentary? We had a great guest on last night, Wisconsin native Doug Prey, who has been a part of some really incredible films. He's a documentarian, and documentaries are bigger than ever right now. They're all over the place, whether they're true crime, true story, historical, whatever. You can't even keep up. It used to be when documentaries came out, it's like, oh yeah, I saw that one. Now it's like impossible. There's so many of them out there, and so many of them are so good. So that's tonight's question of the night. What is your favorite documentary? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the app. Very easy to use. Download the Civic Media app today. If you don't have it, do yourself a favor. It's a great app. And then we will, and also if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X, and you know what? Drop us a like or a follow if you're so inclined when you're perusing our sites and our social medias, our socials, as they say. We also post the question of the night on Facebook every day. So if you can't listen to the show, you can respond and we'll still read your text on the radio. Great to have you with me tonight. Let me know what your favorite documentary is and we'll get into that. Do you have a favorite doc?
I do. It's actually more of a docuseries.
Okay.
It's called Last Chance U, and it's on Netflix. They stopped making them, which I'm sad about. But it's five seasons. Four seasons are football, and then the last one's basketball. And it's all about the last chance they have to play the sport that they like in university, JUCO, college, or you know, yeah, something like that. And it's phenomenal. If you get a chance to watch it, I recommend it.
It's so funny because if my kid wanted to do anything they could to play sports in college, even go to a D3 or an NAIA or whatever they call that now, I would advise him against it. I would say focus on school, but you also, like, it's so great when someone's that passionate. I mean, we had a family friend. I said, where are you going to college? He said, anywhere I can play sports.
I'm like, that's awesome.
Good for you. Okay. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. My documentaries, my favorites, are coming up after the break, and I'm going to tell you about tonight's guests. They're great. We are coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. It is so great to have you with me tonight, folks. Great show tonight. At 6:35, Ian Teal will be here. He is the festival director of the Waiwega International Film Festival. And I think that's fascinating because Waiwega is such a tiny town, but they have this great opera house that works as their venue, but it's still the International Film Festival in Waiwega. That's so awesome. Ian will be here. He'll talk about the festival itself, some of the films. It's their 14th year. Pretty good stuff. So Ian will be with me at 6:35. And then at 7:05, Conrad, you know who's rolling in?
Heather Heil.
Heather Heil from the Green Bay Children's Museum. She is the Director of Business Affairs. They've got a ton of stuff going on over at the Green Bay Children's Museum. Such a great facility. She'll be here to discuss that. And we have, Heather is kind of a Green Bay it girl too. She kind of knows everything that's going on. She seems to know everybody. And we decided, I think this is the third quiz we're going to give Heather. I think she's taken two previously, maybe three even.
Probably four.
Maybe 10.
Probably.
But we're going to give her our Green Bay. Did we go with just the quarterbacks?
It's quarterback. There's maybe a couple questions about the history, too, okay, as well, of the Packers.
And did you make it easy?
I made it so that she could do well.
Okay. I don't want her to waltz through it, but...
I changed a couple questions because, you know, I got it from a friend. That's first name chat.
That's what my wife calls it, her best friend, ChatGPT.
Because there's one question. It's like, who's the starting quarterback for the Packers?
I want Conrad's funny answers, though.
There's some good ones in there.
All right, sweet. So Ian Teal, Heather Heil, going to be a fun night here at Nightlight. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite documentary? Conrad gave his answer before the break. Say it again.
Last Chance U.
I have heard of that. Docuseries. Okay. I kind of went with the sports theme too. At least the first one that came to mind was Hoop Dreams. Such a great movie. Yeah,
fantastic.
I'm probably due to rewatch it. Now, I also love the Civil War documentary. That's a series as well. So you've got so many to choose from. I also like one that I've talked about on this show before called Long Shot, a very short 40-minute documentary about a guy accused of murder. And thanks to a Dodger game and a certain TV producer that could prove that he was at the game, that ended up being his alibi. And a really great feel-good story. Also loved a food documentary called Forks Over Knives. Love a documentary. So let us know what your favorite one is and be part of the show. So I have to say, where was I going to go next year? I got so much to talk about tonight. I did see a tow truck. You ever see this? This cracks me. I'm on 41. It's dark now when I leave.
Yeah.
Terrible. And a tow truck is towing a car, and it's got the lights going. And I'm like, that is so unnecessary. First of all, they were very bright. I'm trying to focus on the road, and this guy's hauling a car in, and it's like, you don't need those lights on, buddy. This is not an emergency. It's like, what is? Why do they have to do that? It's like hauling a trailer. You don't put lights on. It's like, I've got a 1980 Chrysler Champ. I need to get this into the mechanic now. Out of my way. I don't understand it.
I don't either.
It's ridiculous. There's a word for that I can't say on the radio.
No.
Let's get to some texts here because we got a great question. Our documentary question, what is your favorite documentary? Let's go to our social media responses on Facebook. Khan says, Last Chance U. Sheila Rosenberg said, could the font be any smaller, by the way? This is like Superman with his x-ray vision could barely make this out. Can you read this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sheila on social media says, The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia and Dancing Outlaw. I don't know any. You know, we're not going to hear about, we aren't going to know a lot of these, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
Because we'll get some information.
Definitely some recommendations.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sheila. Rich LoCascio says, Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. Okay. Thank you, Rich.
WWE thing.
It's got to be, yep. Right? Matt Harper, Green Bay rock rap artist, says the new Billy Joel doc on HBO Max. I've heard that's really good. My wife saw that one, said it was fantastic. I still haven't seen the John Candy one.
I need to see that. I should have watched that on the plane instead of your movie.
Oh, thanks. Rocker Smith says The Life of Brian. Awesome. Rich LoCascio posted a picture of said documentary in response to Rocker's text. Our pal Rich Tallarico from Key & Peele says Salesman 1969. Don't know that one either, but thank you for the recommendation, Rich. Mike Desitel on social media says, Plan 9 from Outer Space. Wow, I'm learning about a lot of new documentaries here. Mike Preston says, Searching for Sugar Man. my friend Mike, a very funny comedian, Mike Preston. Boris Hamilton, very funny LA-based comedian, says Hearts of Darkness and Filmmaker's Apocalypse. That was on my list too. Hearts of Darkness. I haven't seen it in a while, but I'm due for a rewatch on that one too. Thank you, Boris. Jenny Brand says The Act of Killing and Grey Gardens. What is The Act of Killing? I feel like I should know that one.
I haven't seen that one.
And Tim Baker, very funny gentleman as well, says Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. I know I haven't seen that one. These are awesome, you guys. Thank you. And we're going to get to some of your texts on the text line soon. Ian Teal is here in just a few minutes talking about the YWEGA International Film Festival, which takes place next week. It starts November 12th through the 15th. He'll be here to discuss that at 6:35. And then our pal Heather Heil from the Green Bay Children's Museum will be here to talk about a whole bunch of stuff they have coming up there. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite documentary? Tom from New Berlin says, Conrad, That's the Joy of Golf is the scenery plus the holes. Each is a challenge.
Yes,
well
it is.
Said, sir. Thank you, Tom. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, it is an old one, but Alone in the Wilderness, where Dick Pranky built a cabin in the wilderness by himself using hand tools.
That's cool.
That is cool. That's as close as I'd ever want to get to an experience like that, is watching it on TV. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Grizzly Man, horrible ending.
Terrible ending.
That might be the first text Tyler sent in a while that didn't involve women's breasts. So thank you for that, Tyler. We'll get to the rest of your texts after the news. And Ian Teal will be here, folks. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. You are here on a great night on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you here, folks, on a Tuesday night in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. Another balmy, gorgeous evening. Hope you're having a great evening. Heather High will be here at 7:05. Heather's going to tell us about some really cool stuff happening at the Green Bay Children's Museum, and we are going to give her a Green Bay Packers quiz. A little quarterback-centric, but we'll have fun with that. Heather is a lot of fun to have in the studio. And take our quizzes. She does very well, typically. So right now, though, we're going to turn our attention to independent film, and more specifically, a really cool film festival that takes place right smack dab in the middle of our beautiful state. Joining me now over the stream is the festival director for the YWEGA International Film Festival. He's been here before, Mr. Ian Teal. Hi, Ian.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing very well, thank you. How you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Keeping it together.
Yeah. Long day. I fell asleep earlier. I was like, Oh, I gotta wake up, have some coffee.
Good idea.
Running errands all day.
It's gotta be really hectic as this festival gets closer. I am kind of in awe of your festival based on what I've read, because it's such a small town. And it's so great that you have this international film festival in Little YWEGA, a town that barely has, do you have hotels?
No.
So where do you put people in, Waupaca or Appleton?
Waupaca.
Okay.
Waupaca. Yeah. There's a Green Fountain Inn. Give a shout out to Green Fountain Inn in Waupaca. And they have four rooms, which we rotate filmmakers through, and they're very generous, and it's a great place. They also have a little restaurant there, and they serve food. And we've also rented Airbnbs in the area when needed.
Nice. Well, I think it adds a certain charm, I think, to the festival when it is a small town like that, and you're bringing people in from everywhere. You're showing great foreign films, independent films. I just think it's terrific. So for those that aren't familiar, this is your 14th year, which is really
15th year. 15th year.
Oh, that's exciting. Okay. I didn't mean to shortchange you by a year. I know every year. So tell us about the YWEGA Film Festival. How did it get started?
Well, my partner, Kathy, and myself, we used to live in New York, and we worked on some films, and we did theater and stuff, and we moved back. I grew up in Oconomowoc, And my folks had a house fixer-upper they bought in Waupaca, and I moved back here to help fix it up, and then eventually never left. And we sort of got out of the creative stuff. So in 2007, the Opera House came up for sale in Waiwega. So, well, let's buy this.
Wow.
Why not? And so we did that, and we started a nonprofit. Of course, a year later, the economy tanked, so it was a struggle for a while. And we actually started out showing, because it was set up as a movie theater. They had shown movies there since it started. 1915 it was built. And
wow.
So they were set up for 35 millimeter projection. So we started showing first run films. We fixed it up a bit. And that didn't work out. We couldn't compete with the multiplexes. And so the studio stopped giving us the first run films. We're getting the second run films, and we're like, this isn't working. So we started showing some local indie films. I think one of the first things we showed, oh gosh, I can't remember what it's called now, but it was a film out of Green Bay with Tony Shalhoub.
Feed the Fish?
In Door County. Yeah.
Yeah.
We showed that. And a few others. Like I can't remember the names now. And it was like, oh, there's something here. So I think in 2001 let's do a film festival. And let's make it a foreign film festival. We like foreign films. We're big fans of Fellini and Buñuel, and why not?
I love it.
So this is now our 15th year, and
incredible. Congratulations. That's a really amazing run. I want to ask you, I live in the Marinette area, and I spent time there when I was in high school, and I lived there kind of for the second part of my childhood, and I live there now. And I, you know, probably similar to you, having come from a bigger city, how was that an adjustment? Like, I'm still kind of adjusting. Like, there are things I love about a small town. It's very easy to live there, but it can be quite boring at times if you're used to theater and just going out and being part of a bigger scene, I guess. How have you adjusted to central Wisconsin?
Well, I grew up in Oconomowoc, which at the time was maybe 5,000-6,000, and now it's more of it's much bigger. It's now it's a big suburb of Milwaukee essentially now. But then I moved out to New York, and New York is great, especially when you're in your 20s and you're young and you have a lot of energy. But it takes a lot of work to live there. It's expensive. You're always fighting. You're always struggling. And our intention was not to move here. It just sort of happened. And, you know, it's beautiful here. It's you have, you know, seasons, which you have in New York, but you notice them a lot more here.
Yeah.
And things just sort of fell into place that this was like, well, we've built a life for ourselves here. But yeah, in terms of the small town, it's different. And trying to start an artistic, an arts organization in a small town, which is probably predominantly conservative, as is most of central northern Wisconsin. It's a bit like, you know, missionaries in Africa. It's like, we're not sure we're really wanted here. But after 15 years now, I think we feel like we're part of the community.
Good.
And our community is not just Waiwega. Waupaca is probably our biggest audience, because we're literally less than 10-minute drive from Waupaca.
Okay.
And we also get, that's for all our events. We get a lot of people in Waupaca, and we're pretty tight with the folks there, all the arts organizations. In fact, the Waupaca Community Theater is now, I think, for the fourth or fifth time, they're going to do a show this winter at the Opera House. Mm. They're doing Odd Couple, the female version.
Oh, nice.
Next February. And again, we also get audiences from Stevens Point, Appleton, Green Bay, Oshkosh, New London, especially for the film festival. We get people from all over.
That was kind of...
But yeah, I guess back to your question, adjusting how to live here. It's, I like being outdoors, and we bought an old farm. We have an old farm, and we have 10 acres, but we're surrounded by 200 acres of farmland. And so I spend as much time outside as I can. And,
wow.
and that's nice. It's a big plus of being here.
Yeah, you can't find that in New York. I will say this. My next question was going to be, where do you get most of your, like you mentioned, it's a very small town. And some of these films you're bringing in, you know, you don't typically, people in small towns aren't exposed to that. So I think it's really cool that you're exposing such a small community to that. But as you say, Waupaca as well. But where do most of the people that attend your festival, do they come from out of town? Or do you have you kind of ingrained yourself in the local community so they come out as well?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of locals. And then, you know, we show a lot of Wisconsin films. So we have a lot of the Wisconsin filmmakers show up and then their friends and family.
Nice.
And we usually every year we get, 10 or 12 out-of-state folks and even a few international folks flying in for the film festival. And I tell them, you know, I warn them, you know, this is just, we're a small town. There's not a whole lot to do here.
Right.
But it's a charming community, and you'll meet some filmmakers and see a lot of good films. And everybody who comes here from overseas have had a great time. So,
well, it's really, I love the idea of the Opera House. Tell us a little bit about the venue. Like, I know you said it was built in 1915. What is the capacity? Is it haunted? Are there some fun stories behind it?
The capacity is roughly 300 to 400, depending on the seating configuration. 300 for us is a full house, but you can get more in there because we do a tables and chairs, a cabaret seating type thing.
Nice.
And we do have a balcony so we can get people up there. But I suppose if we were to just cram chairs in there, we could probably fit 400 people in there. But we've had 300 plus in there for shows. It was built in 1915. Basically, it's a vaudeville house. So it's not real fancy, but it's got, and like most theaters, and back in the day, everything like that was called an opera house. I think in the late 1880s, 1890s, opera sort of became a thing. And so they built these venues and they'd call them opera houses, thinking, oh, we're not going to do opera, but vaudeville is starting. So we'll get the vaudeville acts, and opera just sounded better.
Yeah.
So around the Midwest, you have a lot of opera houses. Oshkosh has an opera house, I think. Walsall has an opera house, and those are fancier. So the bigger, this one was actually built by George Gerald, who was a farmer who did pretty well for himself. And I think he was retired and he's like, oh, I want to build a entertainment venue.
My guess.
And it does not have a raked floor. You know, most theaters have a raked floor. This was built with a flat floor so they could have dances and things like that.
It sounds really charming. My guest is Ian Teal. He is the festival director for the Waiwiga International Film Festival, which takes place November 12th through the 15th. We're talking about the venue. All the films are at this venue, the Gerald Opera House, which I think just sounds so exciting. And it sounds like it's going to be a blast. What, let me see. Do you have documentaries? Because we're talking about documentaries tonight, Ian. Do you have some good documentaries this year?
Yeah. I got my list here. We have one that's interesting, which you may have seen, is Green Blah, the history of the Green Bay punk rock scene.
Mm.
And this was filmed, I think, the past few years, and it's shown in Green Bay. I think they showed it at the Green Bay Film Festival. But this is about, I think, the late 80s and early 90s. There was a big punk rock scene in Green Bay, which I had never heard of. And
yeah.
These guys have a lot of interviews with these guys who are still around, who are in these bands, and they talk about the venues they had. Bart Starr's son was in one of these bands, and he was a big deal.
No way. That's great.
And they talk about, oh, we used to go to Bart Starr's and rehearse in his basement, and he was really cool about it. And
so
that film is for local interest. That these guys did a really good job of pulling all this information together, which I had no idea was going on. We have one called No One Cares About Crazy People, which is basically looks at how there's no treatment for mentally ill. A lot of these people just end up on the street because it used to be there'd be mental health centers. That's not a thing anymore. I think now people just want to give them pharmaceuticals and say, you're fine. So this takes, I think, three or four cases where these people are just sort of, you know, lost in the wayside and are not getting the treatment they need because it's not something that our society, I guess, thinks we need, or
yeah,
not sure, but
Well, we'll do. We're going to do a quick break here with our guest Ian Teal, and when we come back, we're going to tell you about some of the films you can see at this year's Waiawega International Film Festival, which starts next week. Mark from Prairie to Sac says he filmed it himself. Oh, he's talking about that documentary, Conrad.
Oh, with the guy,
Dick Pernicki, the guy that built a cabin in the wilderness by himself, built it with his or filmed it with his own camera. Oh my God. That's a great one. Thank you. Mike from Cottage Grove says, my favorite documentary is John Mayer. Someday I'll fly. Keep those texts coming, folks. Thank you, Mike. We're coming right back with Ian Teal. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us
Welcome
every
back.
Day. It will brighten all
I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me. Conrad Krieger working the board tonight. My guest is Ian Teal. He is the festival director of the Waiawega International Film Festival, which takes place next week, starting November 12th, and it goes through the weekend. He is joining us tonight via the stream from Waupaca, Ian?
I live near Fremont, actually.
Okay. The Burbs.
Yeah. Township of Wolf River.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very cool. So how long does it take you to get to the Opera House?
About 9 minutes.
Oh, that's not too bad. That's not a bad commute.
No stoplights.
So tell us about some of this year's films. What are you excited about? I know we've had Daniel Wheeler on, and he's got his film The Voice in the Vessel, which I saw actually. I thought it was beautifully shot in a really pretty cool movie. It's a short. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a sci-fi Twilight Zone type of vibe. Nice film. Yeah. We have a film you may be familiar with called Failsafe.
Yes. Full disclaimer. my son was part of a film. He's the lead actor in a short film called Failsafe. Yeah.
That one, not sure when that shows, but here's a film that I definitely need to talk about. So last year, Waiawega Arts, one of our big main things is creating new works in theater and film and involving kids or youth. So last year, and we've done a bunch of film projects over the years. So last year we're like, let's try and make a feature film. So we got together with a bunch of high school kids, came up with some story ideas with them. And then over the spring and summer, we made a feature film. It took so long because these kids are so busy. They're like, they got sports, they got band. In the summer, they all had jobs. So we knock off a scene. Like we'd have, Saturday, we can get these two kids together. So we'd knock off a scene. And I think we shot from like March to September, but we got it done. That film. This is a film about a group of high school kids who are sort of thrown curveballs and they have to deal with it. So it's sort of, you know, a day in the life of a handful of high school kids or more of a summer. It takes course over a summer. And that's called Shooting Stars. And we're showing that on Saturday, I think at 6 p.m. And that was a great project because we had all these kids. The kids served as the crew. They helped come up with the story. And then again, they all acted in it. And that was pretty. Our filmmaker friend, John Jost, who if independent filmmakers may know him, he's one of the guys that first started making feature films for nothing back in the 80s and 90s. And I worked on a film of his back in New York called All the Vermeers in back in, was it 92 or 93? Anyhow, he was out here a couple of years ago and then he came back last summer. So I said, John, we're going to put you in this movie. So he plays Farmer John, and he has some very nice scenes in the film.
That's great. The one with the kids, that's a really impressive, that's a big undertaking.
Yeah, it was, I'm glad we did it, but I'm never going to do that again. We have to shoot it over 9 months. Cause it's just, you know, it's like, it's kind of nerve wracking.
I would imagine.
But we got it done, and I think it came out pretty good. And so we got that. Some of the other films.
You've got the last rung on the ladder, Ian. And yes. I've interviewed Jeff Blankenship on this show, Max Blaska, Kurt Krause. They've all talked about that film. I still haven't seen it. So that's exciting. I think that, and it's based on a Stephen King work, which is
it's a
cool.
Stephen King short. Yep.
Yeah.
And I think so Wednesday. I think starting at 6 p.m. Thursday is our Wisconsin day. Starting at 6 p.m., I think it is, we have 9 or 10 Wisconsin shorts, including Last Rung on the Ladder. I think we're also showing your son's film, Failsafe.
Yeah.
There's Embodied, which is a Len Barroso documentary. What else do we have? There's...
Dreams Fuel Greatness. That sounds like an interest about a young athlete. That looks interesting.
Yes, we have two films like that. There's one about a boxer. These very short little documentaries. I think they're both out of Milwaukee. One's about a boxer and one's about a baseball player.
That's part of the fun for me in going. I love seeing short films at a film festival. They're all anywhere from, 2 to 15 minutes long. And it's just such a great format because you don't get to see great short films typically anywhere other than film festivals. So
exactly. Yeah. You're not going to. Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to, I suppose you could find them on the internet if you wanted to, but usually, you go to film festivals and most of these are calling cards or they're student projects or college projects. But some of them are, just great. They just tell a terrific story. They're beautifully shot. And it's amazing what you can do in 10 or 15 minutes.
We got a text on the stream, Ian, from Craig Knitt, who says, the Waiwega Film Festival is a fantastic place to see great movies, rub some elbows, and have a tasty old-fashioned or three. Also, you can see Daniel Needs to Leave as well, which is Craig's movie.
Yes.
So.
Craig and I are good buddies. He's done a bunch of theater projects with us in the past, and he's also helped us with the film workshops with the kids over the years.
He does a lot of great. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's I think the artistic director at the Green Bay Boys and Girls Club, and he does a lot of great stuff with them.
Well, you're doing great stuff there too, buddy. I can't wait to, I'll see you on Thursday, I guess. I'm going to watch that film as well as all these other great films. It was great having you on last year and great having you on this year and, break a leg this year. Exciting stuff.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Anytime, Ian. All right.
Okay.
That is Ian Teal. Folks, check out the Waiwega Film Festival. Go to their website. It's a great website and you can see all the films they have to offer in just 3 days. The amount of films they're putting on in such a great venue is really, really exciting stuff. And it's a great little festival that gets fantastic reviews. So check it out. When we come back, Heather Heil will be here from the Green Bay Children's Museum. We're going to give her our Packer quiz and she's going to tell us about all the cool stuff they have coming up. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.